Okay. I'm going to introduce you to a very special artist. Stumbled across her entirely because of I think it was Morpheus or something. I was searching for an artist called Zoe Keating, whose music got me to sleep every night for God knows how many years, during a difficult patch emotionally in my life. And I stumbled across, I think, someone she did a song with, young lady called Amanda Palmer. Now, Amanda Palmer was, or is, a seemingly very angry white girl. And there's very little I love more than an angry woman. There's something about that that just flicks my beak. Boy, did I just date myself. If you know what flick your beak means, welcome to the club. So, I'm going to coin a phrase from her. I'm going to borrow a phrase from her that you can bet your black ass that I'm going to. She has a song called The Truth, and it's a really long titled song, but she is so anti-disestablishmentarianism-ish that's why I love her. I don't think I could love her more. She's a phenomenal artist, very minimal. She used to play with, Amsterdam or something like that, her and another guy. If she ever gets anywhere near me live, I'm going. I'm dropping what I'm doing, and I'm going to see her show. You can bet your black ass that I'm going to. Just the lyrical content, the storytelling, the simplistic music. The music is almost unimportant to the story. Her general hating attitude. She fucking is so angry and she hates whoever she's talking about. That she hates that person that she's talking about. And it's just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And she will never make $1 million. She might. Maybe she already has. But she's not that type of artist. She is the type of artist that generally flies under the radar. She doesn't show her boobs. She doesn't show her butt. She doesn't do dance duets with 700 dancers on stage. She doesn't need to. She has way more talent than any of that requires. Amanda Palmer. She did a song called Astronaut. That's the first song I heard from her. And then this new Truth song, which is probably not new. It's probably a few years old, but I'm slow on the uptake. All right, give me a break. Yeah, I've never been real fast with that sort of thing, even as a DJ. So, all right. You can bet your black ass that I'm going to. I've spent so much time doing things I don't want to, but now I will, and you can bet your black ass that I'm going to. I got 20 years left on this rock. Less than 20 years. My birthday was 4 months ago. So I have 19 years and 8 months left on this planet before I move on to this mortal coil's end. And in all honesty, I wish I heard the clock ticking sooner, but I'm happy I hear it now. I did a lot. I can't really say that I have any regrets to anything that I missed. I only have regrets of things that I didn't continue. Things that I didn't know were going to be important when I was older. And I just, you know, I wasn't, you know, given any direction. I didn't take any direction. And, you know, I didn't choose anything outright. Like some guys want to play the violin or the piano, and they know that's all they want to ever do is screenwrite. So, you know, I just never had that click in my life. But now it has. And for the last little bit of this race, I'm going to take pictures. And I'm super happy to have the opportunity to do so. I'm in fair health. My shutter finger still works. What else could you ask for, really? Other than some wasabi-flavored peas. I've been trying to eat healthy. But I've been doing a lot of them. I'm not trying to lose weight. I'm trying to have a better or more well-defined body for what I do. Having said that, you know, I eat like a rabbit for the most part, but for the last 2 months, I've been eating a ton of seafood, a lot of shrimp. So at the beginning, I was probably eating 3 bags of shrimp a day at Walmart. Shrimp that's probably full of mercury and God knows what else, microplastics. But I was losing fat, but I was also gaining massive amounts of muscle. Like my belt size went down, but I went up to 240. You know, it was, and right now I'm probably 239. And the more I work out, the heavier I get. So I could easily get to 310 pounds. For me to have a body like, say, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I would be close to 500 pounds just because of the way the people in my family are built. We are immensely dense muscularly, and I am very afraid of getting in shape, because even when I was in shape, I was 210 pounds when I first started with the fire department. I didn't look like it. I looked like 160 pounds, but I was 210 pounds. And with my gear on, I was almost 300 pounds. Right now, with all my fire gear on, I'm probably close to 320, 350. But that's a longer story in another book. How are you doing? I hope you're getting your nose out of the way. Not your nose on your face, but the nose that come out of your mouth. You don't have forever. You feel me? You have a little time to have a little fun. And I don't want to see you waste any of that time. I want to see you knock it out the park on most days. There are days when it's just not going to happen. But understand that there are days when you pull the covers over your head and you say, screw the world. And then there are days when you get after it. Because a shark, he's not afraid of Mondays. A shark is not concerned that he never gets a case of the Mondays. He's never worried about Mondays. You know why? Because he's too busy telling everybody and letting everybody know that he's a fucking shark. I'm here to bite shit and swim fast, and that's my job. And he probably enjoys the fuck out of it under those cold, lifeless gray eyes. I don't know. I'm spitballing here. But I'd like to see you succeed in your own mind. Not to the world, but in your own mind. Here's something, you know, and we don't talk about photography a lot, except for days like today, where I was walking. Where was I walking? No, I was taking the train to Albuquerque from Berlin, and it goes through this rail yard once you get to Albuquerque, and I saw this graffiti on the side of the train. Then I thought, wait a minute, I'm an artist. How does he go through his process? He finds a car, he paints the car, he dodges the cops, he jumps fences, he dodges whatever else obstacles in the way, and then he paints his painting, gets out, extracts himself from the scene, gets back home safely without getting arrested and so forth and so on. And you know what? He never sees his work again. The railroad graffiti artist only sees his work once. And up until probably the late 90s, mid 2000s, was he able to even get a picture of it. So when you see that graffiti car go past again, that railroad car with the graffiti on it, when you see that graffiti car go past again, think about that. He never sees his work again. He paints it, spends all the money for the paint. It is an exact and precise and just an absolute perfect artistic process, but he only sees it once. And then it's gone forever. He never sees it again. Well, of course, now he gets to take a picture of it and probably even a video of himself painting it. But even then, it's graffiti. So he doesn't want to keep it too long so he can get caught with evidence. You feel me? I used to do, my friend Kaz used to do graffiti, and me and a couple other guys would go with him to do line work. So he would give us a can, and we would half-ass lackadaisically draw out what he wanted and do all the black and white line work so he could do the fill and the shadows and all that stuff. So we would help him out. But I remember, I was like, oh, I hate this. It takes forever. We're going to get caught, and we're going to go to jail. But it was, you know, it was kind of fun. And even then, I didn't know what I was getting into. You know, who knew graffiti was going to be a thing in our society? But it certainly is. And it's a beautiful art form. But in that, he never sees it again. And I'm sitting here the other day thinking about the permanence of my work, because I had to go through, I have a 256 gig card on my tablet, which holds my entire business. And I was thinking I had to go through and delete some stuff. So I'm wondering, well, do I delete this? Do I not delete that? And then it finally hit me. Impermanence. Your work is not meant to last forever. Artwork is not meant to last forever. Artwork is meant to be destroyed. Those statues from Michelangelo, he never meant for them to last forever. They're supposed to be replaced. We're putting way too much work in keeping old art. You know? And that's on us. Because we're so busy keeping the old art, we don't see the new artists. When you get on TikTok and YouTube, they talk for hours and hours and hours about, about this photographer and that photographer and how this was the greatest picture and that was the greatest picture. No. I tell you one thing, my favorite paparazzi guy, they did a special on him on PBS. He has nearly a house and a half full, basement full of slides, prints, negatives, everything that the world will never see. Vivian Mayer had a storage unit full of pictures she never intended to share with the world, which is the exact opposite of what we are today, is that we want to share everything right now, immediately, you know, and that's just not how life works, especially photography. If you want your pictures right, you're going to have to give me a minute. It's not going to happen overnight. But what am I? You know, I'm just a black guy from Jersey. What do I possibly know about anything? I'm not blonde with yoga pants. So why would anybody listen to me? You feel me? I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. One thing I'm not crazy about, let me ask you this. Are you sick of these billion-dollar deals going down while you struggle for fresh food, for clean water, to pay your rent, to get daycare for your baby so you can go to work, and wonder if you have enough pads to get through the next day and a half of your period? Meanwhile, these billion-dollar deals are going down. How is this okay? How are you okay with allowing this to happen? This can't. But then again, we do have the promise. And I'm looking forward to it. Because here's my point of view. If I had just out of the blue, $43 billion extra to spend, what would I do with it? Here's what Mikey would do with it. I got a boner. I got a hard on for the homeless. I've done what I call like a drop-in homeless thing, where I drop into an area where I'm moving to, and I get a job and I get an apartment and so forth and so on. That's not real homelessness. What I'm talking about is the developmentally and mentally and addicted human beings that we turn out on the street who cannot, will not, or won't fend for themselves. Here's what Mikey would do with $43 billion. All right? You listening? Number one, I would start buying tracts of land on the outskirts of every town, starting here in Albuquerque. There's whole big tracts of land. They just built an Amazon fulfillment center out there. Speaking of wasted money, I would buy whole big tracts of land, just way out on the edge of nowhere. Buy these little tent, those little tiny home 10x10 tiny home sheds. Put a tank of water in it with a 50-gallon tank of water with one of those RV water pumps like I got in here. A couple solar panels on the roof from Harbor Freight. Carpet. What is that thing called? Mini split air conditioner. A small, very small movie theater, 20 people, 30 people. Well, this one was big ass TVs, like a community room, an arts and crafts and creative room, a barbershop. Basically, make a very, very, very small town. And at one end of the town is going to be psychiatric services, 24-hour psychiatric services, 24-hour drug services, 24-hour food services. And have all these available 24 hours a day. Because if you think about it, that's why they're in the center of town, because their needs are not getting met. They're in the center of town because that is the highest opportunity for them to get a couple dollars and then go get high or go get drunk or go get something to eat or go find somewhere to sleep. Of course, that's where they're going to be. Because it's the highest opportunity for success for them. And I 100% understand that. But I would make all of their needs met on the outskirts of town. One, because you're not getting any peace. I've slept in centers of towns on benches and whatnot. You're not getting any peace. When I do that drop in the middle of town thing and I just start working it out, get an apartment, start working the job that I already got, there's no peace when you sleep in the middle of town with the cars and the traffic and the noise, and it's cold and it's hot and it smells. There's no peace. There's no shower. There's no running water. There's nowhere to sit. You're not allowed to sit in the center of towns, because that's how we designed our society. Buy and move, buy and move, buy and move. There's no benches anymore. There's no gazebos anymore. Why? Because the homeless people turn that into homes. It's a catch-22. But if you give them peace on the outskirts of town, the psychiatric, social, emotional, food, and water support that they need, fresh water, a bed with a sheet and a blanket and a pillow, quiet, peace and quiet. Just for the rest of the time that they're here, because they're already fucked health-wise. They've been out in the sun for decades. You seen the homeless person's skin? It's not healthy skin. That's what happens when you don't have any shelter. If it was a rabbit with his hair falling out, we'd be crying our eyes out on the fucking video, putting prayer hands and shit. But these are human beings, us, with their skin like leather, with their eyes just fucked nine ways to Sunday from exposure to the pollution and to the sunlight. Nowhere to sleep. Can you imagine? Take this trip with me for a minute. Can you imagine what it's like being a woman? Number one, with a period to deal with. And number two, this is number one. A woman that is so tired that you're going to lay down on the sidewalk against the wall and go to sleep? Do you have any clue how fucking dangerous that is? No shelter. We had a rabbit for a little while, and I did some studying. The rabbits need the shelter because for them, hiding is part of their survival instinct, and they need it. And if they don't get it, they start pulling their hair out. They start flipping the fuck out because they got nowhere to hide. So you have to build somewhere for them to hide. That's why we have houses. So we have somewhere to hide. So we can step away from the world for a minute. They don't have that. So with my $43 billion, I would build 200. We have 3,000 people in 3,000 homeless people in my city at last count. So I would build.
Read a book Sunday.
Excuse me. I would build 3,500, 4,000 of these little tiny homes in four sections. I would, because here in Albuquerque, there's just so much ridiculous land, you know. 4,000 divided by four is 1,000 houses, 1,000 little houses, 1,000 per site, maybe 250, and then we'll spread it out a little bit. 1,000 seems a little high concentration, but giving them somewhere peaceful to go, somewhere where they have all their needs met. Because these aren't homeless people who need jobs. These are developmentally disabled psychiatric patients. Separately, psychiatric patients that need somewhere to be, that's going to care for them. And that's our job. And we're not. We're more interested on these beat up dogs on TikTok than other human beings. Shelters where the women know, don't go there. That's rape town. Don't go to the shelter. That's what we have to offer each other. That's the best that you could ever hope for, is to sleep on a sidewalk next to a building as a woman. It's a lot of work to be a woman. Not to be able to clean yourself and shave yourself and make yourself pretty, it's super important to them. And we don't take care of any of that for these human beings that are on the street. So with my $40 billion, I'm building these little sites with everything they need on the edges of towns. Number one, it gets them out of the center of towns. It boosts up tourism. Everybody wins downtown because now they're not sweeping out homeless people and driving away tourists because of the tents on the sidewalk. And the homeless people are on the edges of towns. And I hate that word, homeless people. They're on the edges of towns now, getting peace and quiet, a warm meal, a movie to watch on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Mondays. A place to do arts and crafts and then sell that on eBay, contribute to the community, contribute to their own survival. A bus that takes them into town if they want to work, specifically for them. Air conditioning, heat, blankets, laundry, showers. No tubs. I don't like the idea of a tub. Take a shower. What they need. Peace, ultimately, peace in their life. That's what I would do with my $43 billion. And I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. Because the minute I get $43 billion extra dollars, that's what I'm doing. I'm not asking for anybody's fucking approval. This is a private organization. I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to sell it to each city. I'm going to make them pay for it. Taking their own fucking budget. Then I'll take their money and I'll give it to the people who live there. Motherfuckers. Excuse me. No, no, no. We got to do better. One thing I don't, and this is kind of a scary thought, you know, it's kind of a scary thought for me. Is that I'm getting so much climate change stuff in my feed on TikTok and on the news, just, you know, on YouTube, and it's coming up so often. Having been at the beginning of it when they were talking about acid rain, we were like, what is this acid rain stuff? We were scared. We were kids in the 80s. What is this acid rain? To today, only 30 years later, now we're talking about terminal change to where we don't win. And that's what it's come to. We are, as far as I'm concerned, we are past that tipping point of survival as a species. We passed that tipping point, and for us to reverse what we've done, the plastics that have taken in 30 years gotten into our bloodstream, mercury in the water, the plastic in the water, the tons of irreturnable waste that we dredge up out of the planet and turn into stuff that will never go back into the earth. All these TVs, your clothes, the dyes, the paint that's on everything. Everything in our society is painted. Your house, your car. These cars, we wash these cars. How ridiculous is that? We wash these cars, and there is probably 500 cars for every American in this country. Why do we need 500 cars per person? There's no reason. Zero reason. We should honestly be riding scooters. At best, scooters. When you turn 14, you get a scooter. Until you turn 16, then people are going to start driving carefully because you got a bunch of kids riding around on scooters. Then when you turn 18, then you get a driver's license, then you can get a car. You get a small car. Oh, now we got small cars running around. We don't have 16-year-olds driving around with auction Hummers with bent frames. Yeah, I know. I seen it. All these old BMW X3s and 330i BMWs and these old Mercedes. It is CL90. Get out of here. That's an auction bullshit with a bent frame. That shit out of here. See, I worked at Toyota, so I know when they bring me in an auction car with a salvage title and it smells like mold. Excuse me. It's too late for all that. For us to survive as a species on this planet, we would literally have to stop what we're doing, stop talking into this microphone over this internet, turn off all these fucking lights, get back to being humans again, and do something that no one is willing to do. Give up money. Nobody here in this country is willing to give up money for the sake of the planet. Because then you have to give up your power. Then you have to give up your prestige. Then you have to be on a level playing field with everybody else on the planet. And that's what money does. It makes you look important. Makes it so you can buy shit that you don't need to impress people that you don't know. That's why your boss keeps buying classic cars. It's a game for them. He's buying classic cars and you're bragging about them because he bought them with your money, money he didn't have to pay you. Because when he says, when that part of the application, when they say, what are your payment requirements? That's a bargain. They're bargaining. They're literally bargaining with you. And you're going to lose every time because you say 18, he's going to say, we don't pay that much. Next. Or at least that's what you think he's going to say. And that's why you say, give me 11. I'll take 11. See how that works? But that's the thing. We're not willing to give up money. We're not willing to give up things to survive. And go back to living in mud huts that were 100% recyclable. And lasted forever. And you didn't need a construction crew. Or any type of insulation, because Adobe is fucking phenomenal. It's cold in the summer and it's warm in the winter and it doesn't burn down. I went to a fire here in Los Lunas of an Adobe house. It was a raging hot fire on the inside. But once the fire was out, within 4 days, they were rebuilding. But it was a fucking oven in there, is what we call a contents fire. When these houses that we spend $300,000, $4 million on, when they go up, gone. Just that quick. And they don't last, and you have to constantly fucking fix them. But what do I know? I do know we're not willing to give up money for the sake of the planet. I know that. And what are you going to do? Oh, how about some happy news? I got any happy news? I did get one response from my cold email thing, so that was good. I'm ironing that out, trying to explain to people that what they want is actually three different contracts, and you cannot do them in an hour and stuff like that. You know, I'm kind of happy to be doing that again. That is fun. And one other thing that's very, very fun for me, we have, and this is also showing up in my For You page and on my YouTube, we have people, for the first time in 500 years, that think the Earth is flat. Now here, I get it. All right, you believe the Earth is flat. I 100% am okay with you believing that. It doesn't change anything for me. But then that's the point. If the Earth is flat, what does that change for anything? And change anything. That's your belief. You want to believe in a monotheistic or polytheistic society? Go for it. You want to believe the Earth is flat? Doesn't change anything. It literally changes nothing. It literally changes zero if you believe that the Earth is flat and I believe that the Earth is round. Doesn't change a damn thing. Oh, it proves that the government is lying to you? Government's been lying to us since day one, so later for all that. It doesn't change anything. But what do I know? I'm just a black guy talking to a microphone by itself in an RV next to the Rio Grande River. This is a Rio Grande River. Wait a minute. If the Earth was flat, would rivers flow? Because if the Earth was flat, if you put water on a plate, their best analogy, then that water doesn't necessarily go in any direction on a level plate. It just pools right there where it is. But we have rivers. I'm sitting right next to the actual Rio Fuck Grand River, which has, you know, been in my imagination as a kid in New York all those years. Now I'm 20 feet from it. In a goddamn RV. Isn't that special? And to me, that's pretty fucking phenomenal. But I gotta wonder, if the Earth was flat, wouldn't rivers not flow? Hit me up and let me know what that is. Well, you think if the Earth is flat, wouldn't rivers not flow? If the Earth is round, the rivers flow, right? I don't know. We got tides, too. Speaking of moving water, we got tides, too. The tides go in and out. What makes the tides go in and out if the Earth is flat? I got questions. And I hope you got answers. But one thing I don't have is time. I have to go. I got work to do. I got to go to Albuquerque tomorrow morning. Remember, if nobody loves you, I love you. Whether the Earth is flat or not. And I hope you have an awesome night. And I'll talk to you next time.